Best Desk Toys for Engineers and Restless Minds 2026. Dax here, let us skip the brochure language and find out what actually works. Buy by the mechanism that calms you, chaos, spin, or magnetism, not by the price tag. Let me start with the flaw. Because that's where trust gets built. Most desk toys for engineers are injection molded fidget cubes and chrome spheres that photograph beautifully on a listing and feel like nothing in your hand a week later. I've held plenty. They all end up in a drawer by the second sprint. What actually survives on a working engineer's desk is an object built around a real mechanism, something governed by physics you can feel, chaotic motion that never repeats, angular momentum fighting gravity, magnetism you can stack and reshape. Those don't bore because the mechanism doesn't bore. A double pendulum is mathematically incapable of doing the same thing twice. A precision top is a gyroscope you launch with your fingers. That's the difference between a toy and fidget theater, and it's the whole filter for this guide. So I'm curating by mechanism, not by aesthetic or price. I'll name the flaw in every single pick before I tell you why to buy it. Flattery is boring, and you've already read 40 listicles that just say amazing conversation piece. Where a product is overpriced for what it does, I'll say so. Where the cheap version is genuinely fine, I'll point you at it. And where something famous is mostly hype propped up by movie cameo, I'll tell you that too, even though spoiler, the movie one is still my number one, it earned it. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. What actually makes a desk toy worth the square footage? Three things and only three. A mechanism, not a gimmick. The object has to be doing something governed by physics, chaotic motion, conservation of angular momentum, magnetic flux, elastic tension. If the entire experience is, it looks cool sitting there, it's a sculpture and you should buy a sculpture on purpose, not a toy that's secretly inert. The reason a double pendulum or a spinning top never gets old is that the underlying behavior is genuinely unpredictable or genuinely demanding of skill. Your brain keeps re-engaging because there's signal, not just motion. Build quality you can feel in the first second. Pick it up. Does it have mass? Are the tolerances tight? A precision top should feel like a machine part because it is asterisk one forever spin CNC machines each top from a solid billet of metal. A Newton's cradle should have a heavy base and a rigid frame, or the energy bleeds into the structure instead of the balls and the whole thing dies in four swings. Cheap versions of every object on this list exist, and the difference is always in the parts you can't see in a photo. The bearing, the magnet grade, the base mass. It tolerates fidgeting, not just display. The best desk objects invite contact. You should be able to grab it, spin it, restack it, or knock it into motion 100 times a day without babying it. This is where a lot of kinetic art fails the engineer test. It's beautiful but precious, and a desk toy that you're afraid to touch isn't a desk toy. Everything below clears that bar. The rank order is about how completely it clears it and for whom. The as seen in Iron Man 2 tax is real and worth paying exactly once you're paying a celebrity cameo premium. I normally despise that, pay the tax here, refuse it everywhere else. Match the mechanism to the restlessness, different fidgets scratch different itches. If your hands need to move during calls, buy magnet specs or a top you relaunch constantly forever spin. If your eyes need somewhere to rest while you think through a hard problem, buy passive motion you watch but don't touch swinging sticks, a kinetic sculpture, a levitating bulb. Buying the wrong category for your nervous system is why people's desk toys end up in drawers. Diagnose yourself first. Chaos motion. Why the double pendulum is the king of desk toys. If I could only put one moving object on an engineer's desk, it's a driven double pendulum, and the one to buy is the swinging sticks. Here's the mechanism, because the mechanism is the whole point. A double pendulum, one arm swinging off the end of another, is the textbook example of deterministic chaos. Tiny differences in starting conditions explode into wildly different trajectories, which means the motion is, in practice, never repeating. It's the same math chaos theory the two German inventors set out to visualize when they built it in 1996. You are literally watching a chaotic system on your desk, and your brain cannot pattern match it, so it never tunes it out. The clever part is how it keeps going. Left alone, a double pendulum loses energy to friction and air and stops in under a minute. The swinging sticks hides an electromagnetic coil and a sensor in the base. On each downswing it fires a tiny magnetic pulse that restores exactly the energy lost, so the arms swing for years on 4 AA batteries. It's not perpetual motion, it's a beautifully minimal energy injection system pretending to be perpetual motion. As an engineer, that's the part I respect most. It does the absolute minimum work required to defeat entropy and hides the machinery completely. The honest flaw, it is battery dependent and the base electronics are the single point of failure. For the maker's own frequently asked questions, the overwhelming most common reason a unit dies is dead or badly seated batteries, not a defect, but you're signing up for a thing that needs a battery check once or twice a year and will eventually need its base serviced. It's an instrument, not a paperweight. Treat it like one and it outlives your laptop. The origin story is better than the movie. The swinging sticks was invented in Germany in 1996. It only went famous when the Iron Man 2 director spotted one in a shop in Taiwan, brought it home, and put it on Tony Stark's desk, where the joke is that the motion annoys Stark so much he keeps trying to jam other objects into it to make it stop. a perpetual motion sculpture used as a running gag about a genius who can't leave things alone. That's the most relatable thing about it. Buy the original size, not the desktop mini. If it's the centerpiece, there's a smaller desktop version and the full-size original. If this is the marquee object on the desk, get the original. The larger arms have more presence and the motion reads from across a room. The mini is fine for a tight shelf, but at this price you're buying the experience and bigger arms equals more of it. Both run the same magnetic base mechanism. Angular momentum, spinning tops and gyroscopes for the precision crowd. This is the mechanism for people who want to do asterisk something, not just watch. A spinning top and a gyroscope are the same physics conservation of angular momentum, but they ask different things of you. The precision top, forever spin. A forever spin is a top CNC machine from a single billet of metal, balanced and serial numbered, made by a Canadian company in Toronto that funded its first run on Kickstarter and blew past its goal by 60x. It is, without question, the nicest feeling top you can buy. Here's the flaw nobody in the marketing will tell you. Forever spins are not actually elite spinners asterisk. The design prioritizes feel and beauty over spin time. A skilled launch gets you roughly 2 minutes and plenty of cheaper precision tops spin longer. You're buying the object and the launch ritual, not a stopwatch record. There's also a real documented gotcha with the glass base. The metal tip can etch micro scratches into the tempered glass over time. Spin it on the included surface, not your desk, and know the base is a wear item. The real gyroscope, gyroscope.com, super precision. If you want the object that actually teaches you something, it's this, a solid brass and aluminum precision gyroscope from a British maker, computer balanced to a 250th of a gram, riding on stainless steel ball bearings, that spins up to 25 minutes and comes with a 12,000 RPM electric starter motor. This is the one object on the whole list that will make you feel the conservation laws in your wrist. Try to tilt a spinning gyro, and it shoves back in a direction that feels like it's breaking physics. It's not a fidget, it's a desktop demonstration of why bicycles stay up and spacecraft point where they point. Forever Spin is gorgeous and a mediocre spinner, and that's fine. I'll say the quiet part out loud. For a product whose entire identity is spinning, Forever Spins don't spin especially long. A 4-year owner's long-term review pegs his at about 2 minutes and admits he stopped using it daily. The build quality is genuinely last forever tier, but if you're buying it expecting record spin times, you'll be let down. Buy it as a beautifully made object and a tactile launch ritual for a clean, client-facing desk. Gyro for the curious, top for the fidgety, both for the gifter if the recipient is the type who reads the Wikipedia article on precession for fun. The gyroscope wins, it rewards investigation. If they just need something to relaunch absent-mindedly while a build compiles, the top wins a lower friction to engage. Magnetism, the most underrated fidget mechanism on a desk, magnets are the dark horse pick, and for a lot of restless minds they're the asterisk correct asterisk pick. The appeal isn't visual, it's that magnetism gives your hands an effectively infinite reconfigurable thing to do without ever looking down. That's a different and arguably superior fidget to anything that just spins or swings. Specs, magnet balls. Specs are tiny rare earth magnet spheres you mash, roll, snap into chains, and rebuild into structures one-handed while your brain is busy elsewhere. The brand, made by Retrospective Goods, is the legitimate heir to the old Buckyballs. That product line got pulled in the US over child ingestion safety recalls, and Specs ships with explicit adults only, keep away from kids warnings for exactly that reason. This is the best value on the entire list per hour of fidget delivered. The flaw is the same as the appeal. These are serious magnets. Swallowing two of them is a genuine surgical emergency, so they're categorically wrong for any desk a kid or pet can reach, and they'll happily wipe a hotel key card or pinch the hell out of the web of your thumb. They also attract every paperclip and staple in a 6-inch radius into a furry mess. Respect them and they're brilliant. Ignore the warnings and they're an ER trip. Tensegrity structures are the other magnetism-adjacent mechanism, technically tension, not magnetism, but they live in the same how-is-that-physically-possible headspace. A tensegrity desk model appears to float its upper half on thin strings, held up entirely by balanced tension. The strings are in tension, the wood is in compression, and the whole thing is rigid. Flaw, they're static. Great to look at and explain, nothing to asterisk do asterisk. Pair one with an actual fidget. Specs are the legal heir to Buckyballs, and the warnings are not boilerplate. If you remember Buckyballs, you remember they got yanked off the US market over magnet ingestion injuries to kids. Specs fills that exact niche under tighter, adults-only labeling. The rare earth magnets are strong enough that ingesting two is a real surgical emergency because they pinch tissue together across the gut wall. This isn't a CYA sticker. Keep them on an adults-only desk, full stop. For a desk with kids nearby, skip the magnets entirely. Don't try to be careful with rare earth magnets around children or dogs. If the desk is anywhere a kid or pet roams, root around the whole magnetism category and put your fidget budget into a precision top, a gyroscope, or a heavy Newton's cradle instead. The mechanism is great, the failure mode is not worth managing in a household. The Collision Classic is a Newton's cradle still worth it in 2026. Yes, but only if you buy a heavy one, and almost nobody does, which is why most people think Newton's cradles are junk. The mechanism is the cleanest physics demo on any desk. Lift one ball, release it, and conservation of momentum and energy sends exactly one ball out the far side, click-clacking back and forth. It's elegant, it's instantly understood, and it's the rare desk toy that's genuinely asterisk instructive at a glance. You can watch energy transfer happen. Here's why the reputation is bad. People by that conclude Newton's cradles are pointless, and they're not wrong about that asterisk cradle. The fix is mass and rigidity. A serious Newton's cradle like the Iceco Labs Giant, an 11-pound fully assembled lab-grade unit with 15 steel balls, keeps the energy in the balls because the frame and base simply don't move. That's the difference between a toy that swings for 4 cycles and one that runs for 30-plus seconds of satisfying metronomic clack. The flaw with the Giant version is honestly just that. It's a giant, it's heavy, it's a lab instrument priced like one, and it is loud. A hard-launched steel cradle is genuinely too clacky for an open-plan office. Get the heavy one for a private office, get a mid-weight steel and wood model, not plastic, for anywhere people can hear you. If your Newton's cradle dies in 4 swings, you bought the frame wrong. The number one thing that kills a Newton's cradle is a light, flexy base. The energy you put into the first ball leaks into the wobbling structure instead of staying in the steel. Spend on mass and rigidity, heavy base, stiff frame, real steel balls, or don't buy one at all. There is no good cheap and light Newton's cradle, the physics won't allow it. Buy the cradle for the office, not the open plan. A heavy steel cradle is loud by design, that crisp clack is the point. That makes it a private office object, not a shared bench one. If you sit in open plan, either go mid-size with a wood base to soften the report, or pick a silent mechanism, swinging sticks, levitating bulb, tensegrity, so you're not the person everyone wants to strangle by 3 p.m. Levitation and high-end kinetic art. When desk toy becomes centerpiece at the top of the market, desk toys stop being fidgets and become statement objects. Two mechanisms own this tier: magnetic levitation and spring-driven kinetic sculpture. Magnetic levitation, flight levitating display platforms. The most refined version is the Flight Manhattan Edison, a Swedish-designed levitating lead bulb that hovers, glowing above a walnut base, held in the air by active magnetic levitation and powered wirelessly through the air gap. The mechanism is legitimately impressive engineering. A feedback loop constantly adjusts the magnetic field thousands of times a second to keep it stable. The flaws are real though. Levitating displays in general have a finicky, find the balance point setup. A hard weight ceiling, cheaper levitating display platforms top out around 250 grams of payload, and they're sensitive to bumps, knock the desk, and a floating object can drop. It's a centerpiece, not a fidget. You watch it, you don't touch it. Spring-driven kinetic sculpture, David C. Roy / Wood That Works. This is the apex, and it's not a toy at all, it's collectible art. David C. Roy has been building wooden kinetic wall sculptures since 1975. You wind a constant force spring, and the machine runs for hours, 6 to 20 plus depending on the piece, tracing slow, ever-changing geometric patterns with soft mechanical sounds. That's not a desk toy price, that's an heirloom price, and I'm including it only so you know where the ceiling is and what real kinetic craftsmanship costs. The most important thing to know about high-end kinetic art is the counterfeits, David C. This is the tell for the entire premium kinetic category. If a sculpture that should cost 4 figures is being sold for under 60 bucks with stolen product photos, it's a scam. Real kinetic craftsmanship is expensive because it's hard. Buy direct from the maker always. Active magnetic levitation hates vibration and bumps. If the desk is a heavy, stable surface in a low traffic room, a flight is a stunning centerpiece. If it's a wobbly standing desk in a busy office where people lean on it, your floating bulb will drop and you'll be rebalancing it weekly. Match the levitation tier to a stable environment, or put the money toward a swinging sticks that doesn't care if you knock the desk. Final verdict. If you take one thing from this guide, take the filter, not the ranking, buy the mechanism, not the marketing. A desk object earns its square footage when there's real physics doing the work, chaotic motion you can't predict, angular momentum you can feel, magnetism you can reshape. And it loses its place the moment it becomes a thing you're afraid to touch, or a thing that does nothing once the novelty wears off. My number one is still the swinging sticks, because a driven double pendulum is the rare object that's mathematically incapable of getting boring, and it's worth the cameo tax exactly once. Skip the Chromesphere landfill, ignore anything sold with stolen photos at an impossible price, and put the money toward one object built around a mechanism you actually respect. That's the whole game. Flattery is boring, good engineering isn't. Frequently asked questions. What is the single best desk toy for an engineer in 2026? Choose by the mechanism that suits your restlessness, chaos to watch, spin, or magnets to handle. Both things are true. You're paying a real as seen in Iron Man 2 premium and getting a genuinely well-engineered, hand-assembled electromagnetic instrument. Worth it once. As a centerpiece, just know it's battery-dependent and the base is a long-term wear item. Do forever spin tops actually spin a long time? No, and this is the thing the marketing won't tell you. Forever spins prioritize feel and machining over spin time. A good launch gets you roughly 2 minutes and cheaper precision tops will outspin them. Buy a forever spin for the build quality, the launch ritual, and as a gift, not because you want record spin times. Are Specs magnet balls safe? What happened to buckyballs? Buckyballs were pulled from the US market over magnet ingestion injuries to children. Specs fills that niche under stricter adults-only labeling. The rare earth magnets are strong enough that swallowing two is a genuine surgical emergency because they pinch tissue together across the gut wall. They're great for an adults-only desk and categorically wrong anywhere a child or pet can reach. The warning is real, not boilerplate. Why does my Newton's cradle stop after a few swings? Almost always because the base is too light and flexy. The energy you put into the first ball leaks into the wobbling frame instead of staying in the steel balls. The fix is mass and rigidity, a heavy base, a stiff frame, and real steel balls like the lab-grade ISCO Giant. There is no good cheap and light Newton's cradle, the physics won't allow one. What's the difference between a spinning top and a gyroscope as a desk toy? Same underlying physics, angular momentum, different experience. A top is a low-friction fidget you relaunch constantly and watch wobble and die, instant, casual engagement. A precision gyroscope mounted in a frame on ball bearings lets you feel gyroscopic precession directly, tilt it while spinning and it pushes back in a surprising direction. Top is the better mindless fidget. The gyroscope is the better physics demonstrator and the more teaches you something object. Which of these is quiet enough for an open plan office? Silent options, the swinging sticks, a flight levitating bulb, a tensegrity structure and spinning tops, a top is near silent. Loud options to avoid in shared space, any heavy steel Newton's cradle, the satisfying clack is exactly what makes it antisocial in open plan. Magnets specs are silent too, but mind the ingestion hazard around shared desks and visitors with kids. I want a floating object, levitating bulb or tensegrity structure, different budgets, different drama levels, opposite fragility. How do I avoid getting scammed buying high-end kinetic sculptures? David C. Real kinetic craftsmanship is expensive because it's hard. A too good price with stolen photos is the tell.